Welcome everyone to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey guys.
And it's Friday. It's not Sunday or Monday. Don't worry. It's just that there's so much going on that I didn't want to wait until Sunday. And honestly, there's just some things that we need to say that I feel like I need to say about the Kemba situation. And it's things that nobody else is saying, and it's like it needs to be out there. Like somebody needs to put it out there. And you know, I'm gonna volunteer as tribute.
You're gonna go national.
And Mavs fans, if you're listening, like spread this around because no one is saying this about the Kemba situation. And Marty, I'm sorry, I'm just gonna go on a rant
to start.
Okay. So Kemba, is he going to Dallas? Is he going to the Celtics? Obviously, Wojnarowski said he's going to the Celtics. It's like a done deal. I'm not arguing with Woj. Like, that's fine. What I'm arguing with is Celtics fans saying that it's a no-brainer for him to go to the Celtics. And let me tell you why. They're like, okay, if he goes to Dallas, then he's going to have to share the ball with Luka and Porzingis, who are like stars. And it's like, you're right. That is true. And they're like, but with the Celtics, he would be still more of the man because they don't have those dominant stars. And it's like, hold on. I'm pretty sure like 6 months ago or a year ago or this entire season, we were saying that the Celtics are like stacked with stars. I mean, I listened to the Bill Simmons podcast and I love Bill Simmons. Except he started this argument recently. So I'm going to finish the sentence, by the way. During this season, Celtics fans, you know, they're like, the reason the Celtics are struggling so much is because they have too many stars. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got Kyrie, plus they have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier. And Bill Simmons was actually campaigning for Terry Rozier to get more minutes. Like, they were just loaded with stars. And the reason they struggled is because they had too many stars. Like, they were too good. They couldn't figure out how to make it work. And it's like, okay, yeah, because that happens.
Yeah, try telling that to the Warriors.
Yeah. So, all right. But I was like, whatevs. I get it. It's hard to spread the ball. Jason Tatum is overrated, but I'll let you have that argument because you need something. This season sucks. But now it's like, oh, yeah, well, the Mavs have too many stars. Kemba doesn't want to go there. But if he goes to the Celtics, this is like the exact words I heard. You know, the Mavs have Luka and KP, but the Celtics have who? Tatum? Brown? And it's like, okay, hold on. 6 months ago, Jason Tatum was like the next coming of Michael
Kobe
Jordan
Bryant.
Or something.
Yeah.
But now he's like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, they don't have any stars, so Kemba would still be the man in Boston. And it's like, no. You can't have it both ways. You can't say in one breath they're stars, and then in the next breath, oh, yeah, Jason Tatum, he's not that good. And Jaylen Brown, obviously, I mean, he's not that good. So if Kemba goes there, he's obviously, you know, the alpha dog and he can enjoy that. And it's like, that's what irritates me, okay? Like, I think that there are some arguments for Kemba going to Boston. It's in the East, so you have a straight path to the playoffs, probably a top four seed. He likes the East Coast. Like, that's where he's been his whole career and a lot of, you know, even in college. Brad Stevens, great coach. The Celtics have a good team. Adding him just makes them better. I mean, there's a lot of arguments for him to go to the Celtics, and I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is people changing the narrative just to make it fit what they want to happen. It's like, no, okay, either Jason Tatum is a young star or he's not. You can't have it both ways when it's convenient for you.
Yeah, agree 100%. And can we just end?
Stop the this? Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are okay players, okay? Jaylen Brown is what he's been in the league. This reminds me of Derek Favors.
Yeah.
When Derek Favors was in the league for like 7 years, he's a rising upcoming star. Then 1 year, all of a sudden, he's
a wily veteran.
Because he never turned into that star.
Well, Jaylen Brown's only been in the league for 3 years, so he still has time.
Okay, but you know what he is in 3 years.
You know what he is
like,
right now.
He's not going to come into the league next year and average 25.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. He is who he is.
He averaged 13 and 4. Like, that's who he is.
And he's not a ball dominant player where he wasn't getting touches. Like, you can't just give Jaylen Brown the ball and let him go to work. That's not his style. So however many ball dominant players you had on your team, it's not really going to affect what Jason Tatum, much like Klay Thompson, not saying that they're the same player, but Klay Thompson's not ball dominant. The principle, exactly.
Klay Thompson still performed.
Let's move on from the Jaylen Brown star crap.
He's in the Jason Tatum.
I'm not on Jason Tatum.
You're not even
yet.
There yet. You ain't even. I'll just let you go. You just
Jaylen Brown is an okay player, and he's a quality player. He is not a star. Can we stop saying that he is a future star? He's not. Tatum is the most overrated player in his first two seasons. He had an okay rookie year. He averaged like 15 points a game. Now, well, the playoffs. Oh my God.
Playoffs.
He averaged 18 points a game in the playoffs.
Which is amazing.
It's good
for a rookie.
For a rookie. But we act like he had the greatest playoff performance ever played. And this is Kobe Bryant. Then he's working out with Kobe Bryant. Yeah. Oh, he's a future superstar. Kyrie's cutting the legs right from underneath him. Maybe true, maybe not. But my argument is, if you're that good, it don't matter who's on your team. Because if you're that good, you're that good. Look at some of the superstars and they join other stars. Their numbers don't go anywhere. Kevin Durant still averages basically 30 points a game.
Same thing with Steph Curry.
All over 20 points a game. So, you know, if he were that good, then it doesn't matter how good Kyrie was. Jason Tatum would still get his points.
Well, and also, like, his usage percentage went up from 19 his rookie year to 22. The number of shots he took went up from 10 to 13. So I mean,
this whole argument, yes. And the thing is, like, the reason they struggled last year, yes, Kyrie had a lot of the off the court stuff. It was.
I accept. But the reason,
and they, okay, quote unquote, struggled. They won like 49 games and we're in the second round of the playoffs. But the reason they did not advance or beat Milwaukee is because these stars are not actually stars. They're not that good. If they were stars, legit stars, why would Kyrie be so quick to just leave?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tatum averaged 15 points a game this year in the playoffs. And I mean, like, I agree with that Kyrie caused a lot of problems in the locker room and then also on the court in the playoffs. In the last series, he just wasn't really all there. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. Like, there are a lot, like I said, there's a lot of storylines that, yes, I am okay with that. That is absolutely true. But, you know, like you were saying, the Jason Tatum thing, it's like, can we just stop with that? Because he's just not that.
I mean, okay, I'm not saying he'll never develop into that, but I haven't seen anything other than the playoffs that year that Kyrie went out. That shows me that he has a chance of being a perennial all-star. Will he make one or two all-star games? Yeah, maybe.
Well, he's the East, so he's pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah. He's Harrison Barnes.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people compared him to Harrison because he, you know, he would do kind of the same things where he was sort of a black hole on offense, didn't
Carmelo
really pass
Anthony.
It a lot. Yeah, he would take bad shots. People blame Kobe for that. So, I mean, you know, yeah, a lot of people compared him to Barnes. And honestly, you know, just like, you know, Barnes is a decent player. Jason Tatum is a decent player. I mean, 15 points,
stars,
6 rebounds is good. Yeah, but he's not a star. And of course, people are willing to admit that now like, because it's convenient for them. It's convenient to say Tatum and Brown aren't stars because that makes it easier for Kemba to go there. But during the season or anytime you compared him to Luka, it was like, no, Jason Tatum's just on another level. And it's like, you can't change. I saw the same thing with.
It's been all over all the major broadcasts. They all say it.
And it's not just with this. This problem comes up. I remember with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. So they were talking about when LeBron lost in the finals and they were like, well, I mean, he's playing with like an old Dwayne Wade. You know, he's like Dwayne Wade. He's not that. But then it's like, and then in the next breath, we're talking about how great Dwayne Wade is and all this stuff that he's doing. And like, he's one of the all-time greats. And it's like, well, he either is or he isn't. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with this. It's like, you can't have it both ways. Jason Tatum is either a star or he's not. And they're just changing when it's convenient.
Yeah. Whatever fits their narrative, whatever message it is they're trying to get across. And look, if Kemba wants to go to Boston because he can still be the man, he's in the East, and he'll probably make the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Those are all nice things, but do you ever want to actually win? I mean, do you? Because if you want to just be on the East Coast and be the man and make the playoffs, okay, you can do that in Boston. But do you want to actually win a championship?
So you're saying he has a better chance of winning a championship with Dallas?
With Dallas. Because Luka is a future.
He is actually.
He's better. And I know there's going to be
people. He's already better than Tatum.
Thank you.
I'm not afraid. Okay. Like,
but there's people
up.
Out there.
Come at me, bro. I mean, come on.
There are Tatum groupies out there that just, they will not drop the fact that Tatum is the next Kobe Bryant. But if he wants to win a championship, he has a better chance in Dallas because Luka has a better chance of becoming an MVP candidate. Kristaps Porzingis is better than anybody on the Boston Celtics right now. Luka is better than anybody on the Boston Celtics. They're both under 25. Luka is 20 years old.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long-term contract. So by the time you're in your third year, Luka's going to be hitting his prime. KP's going to be in his prime. You have a better chance of winning a championship if you come to Dallas. Yes, next season, is it going to be hard to make the playoffs in the West? Yeah, but that's why you play. That's why you play the game to win it all against the best. And yeah, you go to Boston. Ooh, I'm going to be in the playoffs. Well, good job.
Goody.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane to me that, you know, everybody's justifying this and then we'll kill other players that join super teams so they can win championships. It's like, okay, so what really matters? It's Boston. And Boston's that high market. Everybody loves Boston. That's why when they lose, there's a reason.
Well, it
can't just be they're not good enough.
Yeah, there's an excuse. I mean, it's like, it was always, is it Dallas? Is it Boston? Is he staying with Charlotte? Is he going to like New York or the Lakers? Mm-hmm. And then Woj says that, you know, he's going to Boston. And now all of a sudden we're writing Boston. Like, it's just the obvious. Oh, yeah. Well, duh.
Well, duh.
Because, obviously. And it's like, well, I mean, yes, there's reasons to, but just the arguments that people use, I don't like.
Look, I mean, are they going to be a playoff team? Yes.
Well, they already are. I mean,
are they going to go anywhere or do anything? No. And so he's going to get paid. He's going to be on the East Coast. He wants it easy. Do you want to win a championship? And it's like, that's what I don't, there's another point. And are we still
preach
on?
It. No.
Okay.
Preach it, brother.
Can
Say
we
it.
Stop talking about how Brad Stevens is the greatest
coach
the for point
thing.
Guards?
That's
okay.
The other thing. Okay.
Don't
you
get
go.
Me wrong.
I'll let you go.
Isaiah Thomas had a career year in Boston. He had a career year, averaged almost 30 points a game. He never did that before. He did that under Brad Stevens. They were good in the playoffs. But Kyrie was already an all-star and an all-NBA player before he got. And so people.
That was not Brad Stevens.
They're like, well, look what Brad Stevens has done with point guards. Look at Isaiah Thomas, all-star. Look at Kyrie Irving, all-NBA. Wait, well, he was already all-NBA before he went to. So he didn't do
that
anything.
That wasn't,
If anything, the reason Kyrie is leaving is because the way Brad Stevens handled the Gordon Hayward situation, and he didn't like that.
Yeah.
So, again, it's something that fits their narrative. They want to go off and find excuses why Kemba should go to Boston. And if he wants to be the guy, make a lot of money, make the playoffs, be a, you know, out first, second round, Boston's perfect. You want to win a championship, L.A. or Dallas?
Well, and like, okay, so going back to Brad Stevens, I do think he is a very good coach.
I agree.
I think he's a very good
coach. He's not some point guard guru.
But yeah, he's an amazing coach. But this is another thing that people use to fit their narrative is that Rick Carlisle has already won a championship. Like, if we're I got really loud there, but if we're talking about Okay, so, oh, okay, now we're talking about coaches. I mean, you want to talk about coaching now. And they okay, just, they let's ignore. Talk about coaching. Okay.
And they ignore the fact that Rick Carlisle is on the other side.
And won okay, a Brad championship.
Brad Stevens is this. Brad Stevens. Okay, Rick Carlisle is widely known around the league amongst coaches that he is probably the second best coach
probably
in the league.
Probably the second best coach. Has won a championship. And you want to talk about a coach that's good with guards.
I mean, he's never had a good one. And look what he's done made with the, them.
Yes. Like freaking J.J. Barea is sixth God. Man of the year. Yes. I mean, yeah. Like, and especially with Kemba, like small scoring point guards.
Is what he thrives
on. That is his dream. That's why yeah. he gets up in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, that is Rick Carlisle's specialty. So guards just in general.
Look at Monte.
Again, yeah.
Monte's career is over in Milwaukee. Like, he's not going nowhere. He comes here and he was great in Carlisle's
he's
system.
He's the Mavs MVP. And so it's like, okay, you want to talk about a coach that's good with guards, a coach that's just good in general, or a coach that can take you to a championship? Like,
how is Carlisle? Everybody,
yeah,
they're just ignoring the fact.
You want to talk about Brad. And so that's my thing. It's like, okay, you want to talk about fit. Or you want to talk about coaching, or you want to talk about winning. Like, okay, let's talk about it. I mean, it's not just Boston.
The Mavs have done it. I mean, I know Boston has, but Brad Stevens didn't.
Yeah.
And it's just like, again, what's the point of playing? It's to win a championship, not to be comfortable. Yes, yeah. He'll be comfortable in Boston. And they'll be a quality team. But you're not going to win a championship. And that's just it. If you come to Dallas... Yes, I know maybe next year you may struggle. Now, obviously, if you come to Dallas, that's a playoff team, hands down.
I think you're a few years away from even talking about a championship.
But the fact is the possibility
is there.
In Boston, Tatum is not going to magically turn into Kobe Bryant.
I do think that... Like, I don't want to trash Boston. Like I said, there's good reasons for him to go, and I do think they would be really good. But I'm just saying that there's an equal amount of good reasons to go to Dallas is my thing. It's like Brad Stevens is a good coach and the Celtics do have a good team and they would be really good and maybe they would have a path to a championship. I acknowledge that, but I think the same exact things are true of Dallas and in some cases even more
better.
So.
Well, okay. Who's better, Kyrie or Kemba? On court. We're not talking about off court.
Well, you'd have to say Kyrie.
Kyrie
won a ring.
Far and above better than Kemba Walker. And you're going to replace them. Now, is Boston better or worse?
It depends.
Keep in mind, you're also losing Horford.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Okay, so
you... And they already lost Aaron Baines in order to clear space.
Right, so what was Boston's record last year?
Let me check. Boston Celtics... They finished the season 49-33.
So they didn't even win 50 games, and they had Kyrie Irving and Al Horford.
And you put Jason Tatum.
The great Terry superstar. And yes, scary
Brown.
Terry.
And Gordon Hayward. We're not even talking about him. Yeah.
So they won 49 games out, got swept by the Bucks. If you're adding Kemba and losing Horford, are they beating the Bucks? Are they beating the Raptors?
I'd say no.
Okay, so what's the freaking point? Like, aren't you supposed to want to win a championship?
Yeah.
You're not doing that in Boston.
I forgot about them losing Al Horford.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So you're basically trading out, and with all due respect to Jason Tatum, Jeremy Lamb averaged the same amount of points.
I mean, I don't know.
Let's
not get caught up in our emotions here.
I'm just saying... If we're going to do it by points per game, I bet if...
Okay, well, in this case, we should look at things like win shares per 48 minutes, PER. Okay, so I'll compare Jeremy Lamb from this past season...
Are you doing on a basketball reference?
Yeah.
Okay.
To Jason Tatum...
This past season.
From this past... Well...
Just the one season.
Okay. Okay. I have the numbers. So, yeah, I mean, okay, points per game, even. Assists per game, even. Total rebounds, Tatum has a half rebound more, so basically even. Steals, totally even. Shooting percentage, Tatum is higher a little bit. So, Lamb was 44, Tatum was 45.
Well, that's basically the same. Yeah.
3-point percentage, Lamb was 35. 35 almost. Tatum was 37. You know, it's sad that they are actually are really close.
I'm telling you. Now look at advanced stats.
Okay. So I'll do PER. Lamb is 17. Jason Tatum is 15.
Okay. So you're...
Wait, hold on. Okay. Wind shares per 40... Oh my God. Wind shares per 48 minutes. Lamb is 0.113. Tatum is 0.097. Value over replacement player. Lamb is 1.2. Tatum is 0.8. Box plus minus. Lamb was better.
So,
dude, I think
Lamb
is
a better player than Jason Tatum.
I think the universe just exploded for me.
Okay, the reason why Tatum is because he's in Boston.
Well, and I think he can get his own shot.
But really, you're not going to a better team. You're not. With Horford gone, I mean, now you're going to a better coach than Charlotte.
And a better owner and just
better
in terms of
team
making
management.
Things,
I mean, they're willing to go
the
over
lottery,
the salary.
Yeah,
the salary
they pay the,
cap.
Yeah, the tax, yeah.
So, yeah, luxury all that tax. Is better. But as far as talent on the court, Jason Tatum and Jeremy Lamb are basically the same dude.
Marty, I think you just blew my mind.
So, you know, I mean, like, if the goal is winning a championship, then it's L.A. or Dallas. If the goal is to just be comfortable, get paid, be the man, and make the playoffs here and there, it's Boston.
It's Boston, yeah.
And if he does that, fine. I don't want him. Because what the players that win championships, what do they realize? You have to play with other stars.
You got to play with, and nowadays you have to play with superstars.
You have to if you want to win. And so what did they do? The smart ones who want to win, as much as we may hate it, they do that. And if he goes to Boston, then his ultimate goal isn't winning a championship. It's to have a better situation.
Now, that being said, I think that the Hornets should offer Kemba the Supermax. And I know you've said in the past that they should not, and a lot of people are saying they should not. And honestly, I can understand that. I mean, is he a Supermax player? Probably not. But is he a Supermax guy for the franchise? Yes. I mean, like, they are nothing without him. But that's not it. That's not my only argument. So one of the problems that people talk about is the Hornets contracts. How, like, they're really screwed either way, so you might as well just let them go and not get yourself into even more trouble. But the contracts actually aren't as bad as it seems. And I don't remember. There was some other podcast I was listening to. I feel like I should remember this so that I can give them credit. It might have been the Bill Simmons. I think it was the Bill Simmons show. But anyway, so the contracts are actually not, like, as bad as it sounds. I mean, yes, next season they have a ton of money on the books. They've got Batum's ridiculous contract. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, he's going to be making 13. Cody Zeller's making 14. Marvin Williams, 15. Bismack Biyombo, 17. I mean, it's really, really bad. But in terms of, like, paying the luxury tax and having all these horrible contracts, it's really just for that 1 year. Because not next season, the season after, Batum has a player option, which...
He's going to opt in.
Well, let's say hypothetically that he opts out.
There is no hypothetically
but,
there.
Okay, so they have that. That's a player option. Biyombo is completely off the books. Marvin Williams is completely off the books. Kidd-Gilchrist is completely off. Malik Monk has a team option. Miles Bridges, well, that's his rookie deal. They'll probably keep him for that. But, like, the very next year, basically everything comes off the books. And the guys that don't, it's their last year, so then they're an expiring contract. So the contracts are actually not as bad as it seems.
All of that is great if you have an owner that's willing to pay. Because who's going to go there? Like, who's going to go to Charlotte?
Well, if they keep Kemba, and the thing is, they'd have to make some trades is the thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about with, like, the expiring contract. So this year, like this coming year, for example, Biyombo, Marvin Williams, and Kidd-Gilchrist are expiring contracts. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They can't just continue to be stupid. Yeah.
But that's what they...
Okay,
Michael
they would have
Jordan
to change
refuses,
their...
Yeah. According to what everybody says,
yeah.
He refuses to pay the luxury tax. You're never going to win. You're just never... And so I understand why Kemba's leaving. Because you're never going to win in Charlotte. But to your point, if you're just going to go to Boston, and be comfortable. You might as well just stay, in Charlotte well, and get paid.
But they should offer him the Supermax. Well,
which they're not going to.
But see, and okay, this is, okay, two more points on this. First of all, Michael Jordan not wanting to pay the luxury tax. Well, why would he? They suck. Well, now, I mean, if you gave him players that were going to make the playoffs and maybe contend for a title, I'm sure he would want to pay the luxury tax.
He's making the decisions, though.
Yeah, I know. Like,
he's the one that has signed Cody
maybe
Zeller.
Maybe it's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing. Yeah. Maybe he wakes up and he's like, I ain't paying the tax because you made this stupid deal last night. And he was like, dude, you're the one that made the deal.
But Jordan's a great player, terrible owner, terrible team manager.
I mean, it's easy to say that. It's not our money.
Okay.
You know?
But, it may not be my money, but if it was, I'm not giving it to Cody Zeller or Bismack Biyombo. Yeah. I'm not paying Bismack.
But Biyombo with the Magic and the Raptors
was nice.
Everybody wanted him.
Okay. And you were the idiots that signed him. Okay, because he was a nice center off the bench. Yeah. That is a mini mid-level player. That's a $5-6 million a year. To come off your bench for 10 minutes while your starter is sitting on the bench, he can come in and actually provide something. You don't give that dude 17 mil.
I don't know. Okay.
And much less, I think they traded for Biyombo.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the year before they got him, he averaged almost 6 points and six rebounds.
Honestly, I thought
it was better.
Dang. You know what this is?
Because I remember I wanted the Mavs to get him.
This was a case of Jan Mahimi hitting a buzzer beater at the end of the third quarter in the finals. Boom, paid for the rest. He's still in the league.
Jan Mahimi has made a career out of that shot.
That one shot and all this hype around the possibilities.
He made a big shot.
Oh my!
When in reality,
this guy can play.
He caught the ball.
He's the third string queen.
Fading, and he just like
he just jacked it up.
And then it went in. And we were like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah. So you know, that's what I think happened to Biyombo. He had one good playoff series, and he got paid. And the team that
good
has
him.
Yes, of course. He's like, "Yeah, I'll take 17. Well, I am the next Hakeem Olajuwon."
Because that's how he talks.
Well, I don't know how. Yeah, but. You know,
Wait, I have one other point with that. Right. My second reason why the Hornets should pay him is like, okay, they have all these bad contracts and the luxury tax and all that crap. Well, okay, I'm sorry, that's not Kemba's fault. Like, if he deserves the Supermax,
but does he?
Well, like I said, as a franchise player, yes, I think he does. Now, like, okay, you put him up against LeBron, no, obviously, but for the franchise. Yes, and I think that's half of what the Supermax is for. Remember, it's so that these small market teams have a chance to keep their guys.
Well,
and in that sense, yes, you give it to him.
People always talk about you're losing $80 million by not signing. You're losing 1 year. Okay, because that 95% of that $80 million is on that final year. Yeah. So it's really, yes, it's a couple million more a year. That I understand.
That's
it's nothing. It's either $38 million a year or 32 or 33.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that seems like a lot, but really, it's not that much. What you're really losing is the final year. That doesn't affect players because they're just gonna sign a new deal.
Yeah, but for a guy like Kemba, who's he's 29. So I think for him, that is a big deal.
Yeah, but if they're not gonna do it, they're not gonna do it. And
they're
not,
but they should.
Well, no, they should. In my opinion. They should have traded him during the season at the trading deadline.
I mean, it's easy to say that now.
They should have. If you were going to offer the Supermax, then you don't trade him. But if you knew you weren't going to offer him the Supermax, why did you keep him? You should have traded him if you weren't actually intending on signing him anyways. Then you could have got something in return.
That's true.
And they decided not to do that because it's poor management. It's the same reason why Davis wanted out of New Orleans. It's poor team management, you know. And it's not really small markets. Like, yes, the bigger markets get the free agents, but that doesn't mean the bigger markets are always successful. They're not. You have a lot of smaller markets that are successful, like San Antonio, Utah.
Milwaukee,
and it's because
the
Milwaukee,
Thunder,
proper
Portland,
team management.
Denver.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and look at the Knicks. They suck for 35 years now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I cut you off. Do you remember
your
point?
Yeah, so my theory or what I think
Your Kimba
is going to happen is he's going to do a sign and trade to the Mavs because the Mavs are going to be willing to do the Supermax. And I think they're going to tell Charlotte, sign him to the Supermax. We'll do a sign and trade. We'll take that contract.
Can they do that?
I think so. I think you can.
I feel like the point of the Supermax...
But if that team's willing to do it...
Yeah, but I feel like since the point of it is so that teams can keep their guys, I feel like that should be a rule where you can't do that.
If you can, I'm doing
it. Then, yeah.
And I think that's what the Mavs should do. If you can't, then you can't. But,
yeah,
you know, either way, like I said, if your goal is to just be comfortable, be the man, win a playoff series here and there, all right, go to Boston, play with the great Jason Tatum. If you want to win a championship, you should go to L.A., hands down. And I hate the Lakers. I hate LeBron, and now I hate Anthony Davis.
But, and Kawhi and, is getting a meeting with them.
Okay, if Kawhi...
He requested... Let me... Hold it real quick. He requested a meeting with Jeannie Buss, and he requested that Magic Johnson be there. Of course, Magic Johnson can't be there, so he's just going to, like, I guess, have dinner or whatever. But... Yeah, he's having a legit meeting with the Lakers.
If he goes to the Lakers, I'm done.
With basketball.
I'm sick and tired. Like, don't you want to beat the Lakers? Like, go to Toronto, face them in the finals.
Like you did with the Warriors.
You beat them.
That was so like, great. That was one of the greatest championships of the past 10 years because a team fought and won and
just
beat
like the Mavs
team.
When they beat the Jets, Heat.
That was the last great championship because the Spurs had a couple good ones in there.
Well, they had one.
Yeah. Ever since then, it's just been like, oh, okay.
The Warriors
let's get the playoffs over with. Yeah, but that was one of the greatest because that was pure basketball. Yeah. That was the playoffs. Was the finals.
You're talking about, and then I'm sorry. I'm taking away all the cred for LeBron.
What do you mean?
He has played with if Kawhi goes there, LeBron has played with some of the all-time greats. And I'm taking away his freaking champ. They don't mean nothing to me.
Well, the one in Cleveland
is... Kyrie Irving.
Well, okay, that is true.
Kevin Love.
That shot. But, and that defense. But, I mean, like, for the series, you got it.
He played well. I'm not saying he's not great. I'm not saying he's not. But, okay, look at this year.
Okay.
This year with the Lakers. The one year he doesn't have 13 other Hall of Famers.
He doesn't even make the playoffs.
Okay, he needs like 13 other Hall of Famers on the team in order for them to win the championship.
LeBron doesn't make the playoffs and a whole other country wins.
So, yeah, I don't want to get stuck on Kawhi.
Yeah, but okay, so you were saying if he wants to win a championship, it should be either Dallas
or the Lakers. And I know the Lakers is more immediate. You probably will win it next year. But
maybe.
Dallas, you have a chance to build something.
Yeah.
You know, and I know what you're saying about the Lakers. They got to build the roster. I get all that. But when you have... Now, I also think Anthony Davis is going to be exposed a little bit for the player he really is.
As like a Kevin Love,
Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett. I know
DeMarcus Cousins.
Well, Kevin Garnett in Boston was 19 and 10, just like
Yeah,
Chris
but that's because he was old,
oh
even
my.
Though
he was
like
old.
33.
No. Yeah. So there's a lot of players.
That's what I'm saying. Changing the facts to fit your narrative.
I think Kemba is on that same level. Put up big numbers on a bad team. You put them on a really good team, and they're all stars, like Kevin Love and Chris Bosh, but they're not LeBron and Durant and Steph, and even Klay for that matter. Imagine if Klay was on Charlotte. He'd be averaging 35 a game because he's the only guy. Because, you know, if you can drop 22 or whatever on a team with four all-stars.
MVPs.
you're a good player. So,
all of that being said, I don't even know if Kimba is a good fit
for
the Mavs.
I've moved on from Kimba. Like, just the idea of him going to Boston... It
makes it. But he hasn't done it yet.
I know, but this is what's best. This is the best decision
for
him.
That's the media. Don't hold
and
that against Kemba.
Okay, but players that sometimes they fall into that.
Well, that's
they
true.
Fall into that same trap that, you know, Jason Tatum probably thinks he's a superstar.
That's what people. Yeah, that's why he took jacked up so many shots, even though they were bad shots.
Because he was told all summer long,
I'm the next superstar.
I'm the next Kobe Bryant. So. If he goes to Boston, fine. I don't even want him anymore. I was never sold on it to begin with.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, like, I was never really sold on the fit. And I'm upset about what the media are saying. But I honestly, I don't even know if I want him. I just feel like I have to defend the Mavs just because I'm a fan.
What I don't like is how all of a sudden, because it's Boston, not because they have better players, they have openly said
people are the Mavericks you have better players.
Oh, but it's Boston. But Boston's better.
No, see, because the Mavs are too good.
Yes. And it's just like, it's like, you know,
I don't think you know what good
as
means.
As soon as Boston says they're interested, they're the favorites.
Well, yeah.
I mean, whatever. Fine, go. We don't want you anyways. We got Lukey.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't even know if he's a good fit. I'm not upset because of that. I'm just upset because I feel like I need to defend the Mavs. But I really don't even know if this is the best place for him, like in terms of fit and everything. And to be honest with you, like, he's a guy that he's dominated the ball, not because he's selfish, but because he's had to.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never seen him not dominate the ball. Mm-hmm. So if he can do that, then yeah, he'd be great for the Mavs. But you don't know that. And that kind of uncertainty makes me a little nervous. Now, if Donnie Nelson says, oh yeah, he's a perfect fit, we can make it work and we're going to contend for a title, then I'm done. Like, that's all I need to know.
If
I'm sold.
Donnie, not Cuban.
Yeah.
If Donnie says it,
then yeah, I'm
all in.
If
Cuban's saying it, stay away.
Yeah. So anyways, if the Mavs go after him, then that's all I need to know. I'm sold. But until, you know, they have that meeting and they say all that stuff, then I don't really know. And again, like, there's so many options that...
I just want to say one more thing.
Okay. Dude, let it fly,
I was watching ESP Disney, and they were talking about if Boston got Kemba, uh-huh, and two of the analysts were like, well, they would instantly be the favorites in the East. And I'm just like, how?
You mean aside from the team that just won the championship?
Yeah. Or Milwaukee?
Should we tell them about the Raptors?
Swept you? Even Indiana.
With Oladipo back. Well, yeah.
You know, so I'm just like, what? It's these high market teams. The one that the Lakers are on that level as well. They get one player who can dribble between his legs,
like,
and he's an all-star. Kuzma is...
He's good.
Kuzma is okay. Okay.
Well, he's young. You can't say for sure yet.
You can see it. Like, we saw it with Dennis Smith halfway through the season, his first season. We stopped watching because we're like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
He's just not what we thought he was going to be.
You can see, and we saw it with Luka.
Immediately.
Exactly. You can see it. Okay? You can see whether the guy has it or not. Kuzma is okay. He's a quality player. He's Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Which is okay player, but let's not act like he's the third cog of their championship run.
Well, the problem is like I said to open this whole thing, is that people are, they say stuff and they say stuff and they say stuff and they don't think about it. Like,
all season long.
Yeah. Like, just like when I thought about it, you know, and all this stuff that we said, if you just think about it, like, yes, all those things make sense about Boston, but just think about what you're saying, that oh, the Celtics suddenly don't have any stars when 6 months ago they had too many stars.
All year long. The reason they struggled is because
they
couldn't figure out how to get all these stars to play with
each other. But now, like, oh yeah, all we needed to add was Kemba, who's a ball-dominant guy.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, that fixes it. So it's like, you know, what you're saying about how they instantly become favorites and all that. I think it's just people get caught up in saying that and they don't stop and think about what they're saying, that the Raptors just... Now, they might have been saying that because they're assuming Kawhi is leaving. I don't know. And that would change
but
everything,
even
obviously.
Milwaukee.
Even then, Milwaukee would be the next
Philadelphia.
Up. Yeah. Milwaukee
even without
would have
Tobias
next.
And Jimmy.
So it's... Those are just things that I felt like needed to be said because nobody was saying it. Everyone was just spewing this stuff about Boston. Not all of it wrong. Just, you know, not the whole side of the story. And so that, I think, just needed to be said. Okay, so say they don't get Kemba. There's a ton of plan Bs, and we won't talk about all of them because there's a ton of them, and we've already done that, and like every other podcast has done that, so just, you know, it's out there. But one, just there's a few things that have happened in the past couple of days. So the Nets extended their qualifying offer to D'Angelo Russell. So he's now officially a restricted free agent. The Bucks, I think, either have extended or it's known what they're going to extend the qualifying offer to Malcolm Brogdon. So he'll become a restricted free agent. The Magic are planning on extending an offer to Vucevic, so he'll have that to go back to the Magic. So things are kind of starting to shake out of, like, offers are actually being made. These guys are now restricted. You kind of know what the teams want to do. The Bucks also waived George Hill, probably to make room for trying to keep Malcolm Brogdon and Chris Middleton. I don't think that necessarily changes a whole lot in terms of, like, what we thought would happen with those guys. It's just, like, things are kind of starting to shake out. And it's Friday. Free agency starts on Sunday. So,
quick question.
It's going to get real.
Who's better, in your opinion, Patrick Beverley or George Hill? It's George Hill. George Hill is a better player. He's had a better career. He's a lockdown defender, and he's a big shot maker, and he can make a play when he needs to make a play. So yeah, I mean, seriously consider George Hill over Patrick Beverley.
I consider them to be fairly equal in terms of, like, difference making, making a difference. I think if you have Beverley or Hill, I think you're the same team either way.
I mean, so, George Hill is not your A-list signing.
Yeah, well, and I don't mean difference maker as in superstar. I just mean, like, if you have one or the other, you're the same team either way. So I don't have a preference. I would prefer George Hill because I think Patrick Beverley is a dirty player and I just don't like him. I've said that before. So yeah, I would rather have George Hill, but it's such a wash that I don't even know if I really want him. I just would rather have him than Patrick Beverley. And I posted on Instagram about this. If the Mavs want to get Patrick Beverley and somebody else, they're going to have to make additional moves. Like, they're not there yet where they can sign two guys. They would have to get rid of Courtney Lee, probably do something with Hardaway Jr., and maybe even do something with Jalen Brunson. And I asked this question, if you had to give up, if getting Beverley means losing Brunson, do you still do it?
Well, so no, because if they only got Beverley, they don't have to get rid of Brunson. So really, it's not a question of...
It's not just Beverley for Brunson. If you get two guys, but it means giving up Brunson.
Okay, it depends on the second guy.
Well, I mean, we're assuming it's not George Hill. I mean, we're assuming it's Beverley.
It's Malcolm Brogdon.
Or Tobias Harris.
We'll say those two. Then, yeah, you got to give up Brunson.
So I then mean, it's more about giving up Brunson to get the second guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, so then... Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because otherwise I can understand just keeping Brunson because he's younger. He was actually better than Beverley as a starter.
I think Brunson, though, he had a really good rookie year, but it was just his rookie year. So he's got a chance at really being a quality starter.
Just a solid point guard.
Yeah, exactly. So
as a starter, he averaged 13 points, 4 assists, shot 48, almost 49% and 37% from three.
I mean, are you even going to get that from Pat Beverley?
Well, Beverley last year averaged 7.5 points, 3.8 assists, shot almost 41%, almost 40 from three. So that's notable. But
he's a better 3-point shooter, but he doesn't shoot as many probably. And and really the only reason their interest in Beverley is because you need defenders around.
Yeah, Luka. And he's known for his defense. But I'll say this, and I think I've said this before. I don't know if Beverley is actually a really good defender or if he's just pesky. And there's a difference.
If the Mavs is analytical.
They're analytics.
As analytical as they are, and they think Beverley is a good defender, then he's probably actually a good defender.
Yeah, I mean, they're not infallible. I mean, they've made bad moves.
Well,
so
Cuban has.
I mean, we don't know that for sure.
Like, I don't know why all of a sudden I'm taking all these shots. Freaking
Twitter snitching us. They already Twitter snitched you about Cuban. What you
I don't
said.
Know. Yeah. I don't know why I
Nobody
said
better that. Tag Cuban on this. Okay.
I love Cuban anyways. So.
Yeah. So, but not only that, like, I think Jalen is a decent defender too. And he's also taller. I mean, not that that's a huge thing, but he's...
I don't know if he's actually 6'3". Like, I know he's listed as 6'3".
He says he's 6'3".
He's got to be the shortest 6'3" player I've ever seen.
Kevin Durant is 7 foot. whenever it
7-1 sometimes.
He's 7-1 now.
Yeah. I mean that drives me insane. Dude, the dude is 6'10". Okay. Yeah. 6'9".
No,
6'10".
If he's guarding a center, it's he's 6'10". Because and he's only 6'10" guarding that guy.
Yes.
But if he's guarding a guard, it's like, see, I mean, that's a 7-footer doing that.
Not just on the offensive end. When he does a crossover pull up, that's a 7-footer doing that. Yeah. No, he's 6'9", 6'10".
Or if he like misses a layup, it's like, well, you know, he's going up against a 7-footer. It's just a tough shot to make.
It drives me nuts. I want to see what he's listed on Basketball Reference.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah. Because he's always like, they say that over and over.
He's listed as 6'9".
Okay. So can we drop it?
Well, there was a picture posted of him next to DeMarcus Cousins, and he was, I think, taller. Then I was like, well, then maybe Cousins isn't as tall as we thought.
Cousins ain't 6'10".
I mean, I don't know.
I know he's listed as 6'10", but he ain't actually 6'10".
All that picture proves is that Durant is taller than Cousins. We don't know how tall Cousins is. So anyways, I think that's pretty much it. Like I said, there's a ton of plan Bs. We'll know pretty soon what's going to happen. Al Horford is still floating around in the ether.
1 year, 20 mil, I'll do that.
Yeah. And now we're hearing that the Mavs aren't even going to get a meeting with Al Horford. So maybe they were telling the truth, that they definitely had not offered him that contract. But I'm like, whoever signs him to that contract, like, instantly has to be investigated for tampering, because we already know about the contract. Mm-hmm. And he apparently does, too. Anyways, but that's it. Sunday is just around the corner. We're still going to record a potty. Oh, yeah. You know, that reminds me. We should clarify one thing, if anybody has made it this far. The way that you say Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody on Twitter was like, why do you pronounce it Porzingis?
Just Stephen A. Smith YouTube and Porzingis. You'll see.
He pronounced it Porzingis. So if we ever say Porzingis, and I'll probably say this in the next episode earlier on, just that way.
Well, it's also like Doncic.
Doncic.
Or Doncic.
Doncic, yeah. Doncic.
Yeah. It's Porzingis.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to record a potty on Sunday, and that's when things will start happening, and I'm really excited. That's pretty much it. We'll see. Thank you guys so much for listening. Just all of the new listeners and the returning listeners. I mean, the support has been great, and it's actually been really cool to interact with you guys on Twitter and on YouTube, because on YouTube you can actually leave comments. And so like when you leave a comment about your thoughts or what you think will happen, it's cool to be able to have that conversation, because that's really like, when we record this, it's just us talking, and we put it out there, and I want to be able to hear like your thoughts. And so it's pretty cool to hear that on Twitter and YouTube.
Yeah. And look, guys, you don't have to keep saying it. We know we're the best Mavericks podcast out there. Okay. We know we're better than every other one of them.
I mean,
spread the word, get us known out there, because you've been telling us over and over.
There are a lot of good Dallas Mavericks podcasts,
and we are the best. And that's not a shot at others. They do a great job, and I listen to them every day. But we all know already who the best one is. We thank you.
Is this humble bragging?
Can we just drop it? I'm actually kind of getting tired of hearing about it.
But to be honest, though, I am subscribed to pretty much every Dallas Mavericks podcast, and I listen to all of them, because as a Mavs fan, like,
love Mavericks,
you can't get enough content. Yeah. So thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun, and the growth has been really cool too. But more, it's just been fun to talk to more of you and interact. So you can watch the show on Twitter or YouTube if you want to leave your comment there. Follow us on Twitter at Dallas Hoops Cast, and on Instagram at Dallas Hoops Fancast. Our trivia question of the day on Instagram was, we posted every Tuesday, Mavs Trivia Tuesday. The question was, how many players have been an all-star as a Dallas Maverick? Martin, do you know that?
9.
Yes. Well, you only know that because we talked about it together.
Well, so why'd you ask? Cheating.
I don't know. Your face.
Okay.
Yes, the answer is 9. And at Forgotten Mavs got it correct. The 9 players are Yeah, I don't know. There was 9 of them. I know Dirk got it like 20 times.
Dirk, Josh Howard, Jason Kidd, Michael Finley, Steve Nash, Rolando Blackman, yeah, Mark Aguirre, James Donaldson.
Was James Donaldson on there?
I thought he was on there.
Rolando Blackman and the other, there was another guy. Maybe not. Maybe he wasn't on there. Anyways, congratulations at Forgotten Mavs. We're going to have another Mavs Trivia Tuesday this coming Tuesday, and be the first one to answer correctly to get a free shout out. It's free. Your face. Okay. Thanks, guys, for listening. That's all for this show. We'll talk to you guys in the next episode. Bye. Okay. How's that?
I'm
talking normal. Hello? I'm going to turn mine down a tad. Hello? Can you talk, please?
Yes, I can talk just fine.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes. For the 15th time, I am ready.
Can you stop talking? Thank you.